Respond to this by turning together in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. In Romans 16 tonight, we'll be reading and considering the chapter as a whole. Let's pray before we read and ask God to bless our time in His Word. Lord, You've told us that Your Word is pure, that it enlightens the eyes, that it is useful and necessary for our salvation. Pray, God, that as we read and as I preach, that You would bless, that You would make Your Word a means of grace to each of us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church and their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Judea, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who was approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman, Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So does Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus, greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. In Luke 17, we read of a story in the life of Jesus that gives us insight into the problem of ungratefulness. During his life, Jesus was ministering, traveling, and he came upon 10 lepers. He came upon 10 men who had been diseased, and because of this disease, were ostracized from their families, from their communities, had to live outside the city. And they cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us and save us." And of course, you know that Jesus did just that. He healed them. And he said, go and show yourself to the priest that you might be declared clean and able to rejoin society. And then, of course, one came back. And this didn't go without Jesus' notice. Why did only one return? I thought I healed 10, and I'm not that bad at counting. Where are the other 9? Of course, this is all to show how even with the greatest gifts, the human heart is often ungrateful. As we consider tonight, we're going to think about some of the reasons why we don't show gratitude. Not just reasons why we don't show gratitude to God, but why don't we show gratitude or more gratitude to each other? There might be some reasons for this. Some people, we fear dishonoring God by honoring people. We fear that if we show too much gratitude to people, we might dishonor God. We'll look at that tonight and consider that. We might not understand how encouragement works. We might not know how people are actually built up by the service of gratitude, that when we show gratefulness, we encourage people and we strengthen them. But ultimately, the reason for our ungratefulness lies with our own sinfulness, that we are by nature selfish people. We are by nature sinners who have eyes for ourselves and who do think on our own power. We think the world revolves around us, and we think when other people do nice things, well, that makes sense. I am the king of the universe, after all. I shouldn't have to thank them. So we see that there are sinful reasons. We see that there are some practical reasons why we don't show as much encouragement to others as we could. I want to consider and just remind you a little bit about this book before we dive into the passage. Some have rightly called the book of Romans Paul's magnum opus. And Paul, for many years, longed to visit the Roman church. Paul was a wonderful missionary. He did much traveling, and he wanted to go. He knew that there was this church and these churches being planted in Rome. He knew how important they were because this was the center of the empire. And he longed to go there, longed to be there. Other people were there that he knew and loved. And for many of his years, he was prevented from going to Rome. And in fact, it's not until the very end of the book of Acts that he's finally able to get to Rome. And when he does get there, of course, he's in chains and in prison for at least a couple of years. And the book of Romans itself was written before he visited them. He wrote to this baby church, and he put in this book all the important things it seems like he could think to put. And Romans as a book considers some of the broadest and deepest and most significant questions that humanity can ever even think about. Who is God? What are we? How can we be made right with God? What is sin? What is the law? What is predestination? How does this all work out? The book of Romans is this swirling depth of theology that if you've ever studied it, you know you can spend weeks and then months and then years getting from this book all the wonders that Paul has packed in. It truly is his magnum opus of theology, which makes it all the more amazing how he ends it. That for 15 chapters, Paul has been pouring out his heart in such wonderful theology, and now all of a sudden, he wants to say hi. He gets on Facebook and he begins to say hello to you and hello to you and hello to you, and he's bouncing around and he just wants to make sure he gets everybody, doesn't miss anybody. But there's a reason that these things are connected together, of course, and we'll see a little bit of that as we go through. So what I'm hoping to consider tonight and have us consider together is that horizontal thanksgiving, that giving thanks to other people, is not and should not be disconnected from vertical thanksgiving. And we often think about thanksgiving in vertical terms. For the past 5 years, we've had Thanksgiving worship services, and each of those sermons, I've always preached about giving thanks to God and being grateful to God and developing a grateful heart toward God. But tonight I'm going to preach from Romans 16 about being grateful to other people. And I want you to see that being grateful to people is not disconnected from being grateful to God, but rather being grateful to people specifically and purposefully is one way that we show our gratitude to God. Chapter 16 ends the book in a way that Paul often ends some of his letters. He wants to give greetings to people that he knows. He wants to encourage people. He wants to build relationships in the church. He wants to show love, and he wants to promote the leadership of the church. And as we look through this chapter, what I want to show us is that three things that giving thanks for others means. What does it mean to give thanks for other people and to other people? Now, first of all, giving thanks for people, giving thanks to people, means praising God as the giver of all gifts. It means praising God as the giver of gifts. As we show gratefulness to other people, it begins by praising God as the giver of gifts. Now there's a reason that chapter 16 is chapter 16. That is, the first thing I want to point out under this heading is that chapter 16 comes after chapters 1 through 15. That Paul has spent time glorifying God and fixing our eyes on God. And I do think it might have been inappropriate for him to begin the letter by saying, here are all the great people in church. Just as it would be inappropriate for us to come to worship on Sunday and talk about each other. We come to worship and we focus our minds, we focus our eyes and our words on God. Romans 1 through 15 came first so that we might be fixed on God. And when we are fixed on God, then we have the right position, the right heart, the right eyes to thank other people in a way that brings glory to God. The other thing I want to point you to is verses 25 to 27. If you know some verses from Romans 16, it's probably these. In my Bible, it has the heading. It says doxology. Doxology means a word of praise, a word of glory. And it's a wonderful way that the book ends. But there's no disconnect between the first section of chapter 16 and the last section. See, Paul doesn't, there's no sense that Paul is switching tracks when he honors people and then when he praises God. It's not hard for Paul to do both. And the reality is, for some of us, it is hard to do both. We might be too people-focused, we might be too God-focused, if that's such a thing. But Paul has fixed his eyes on God, and with eyes to God as the giver of all good gifts, he begins to thank people, and then he returns to God who gave those people to him. And so as we develop grateful hearts toward other people, we do it in a way that recognizes that God gave those people. And that's what James 1 tells us, that God is the Father of lights from whom comes every good and perfect gift. And so we are freed, in fact, to be grateful to other people because God gave them to you. And so if you're at all worried that showing lots of thanks to other people will diminish the glory of God somehow, you don't have to worry about that. You see, when you show thanks to the people around you, when you are grateful to them, God is lifted up because guess who made them? God is the giver of those gifts. And so as we show thanks to people, we are praising and honoring God as the giver of those good gifts. And secondly, we see that giving thanks for others means rejoicing in Jesus in others. And this especially applies as we give thanks to others who are born again, others who are members of Jesus' church, others who believe and trust in Christ. As I show thanks to people who are fellow heirs of Jesus Christ, what I'm actually doing is rejoicing in the work of Jesus in them. Let me show you how Paul does this in several verses here in chapter 16. Look at verse 3. He says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Prisca and Aquila, the husband and wife team, worked tirelessly and sacrificially for the church. They moved. They opened their house up. They were one of the ones that enabled the churches, several church plants, to get going. And Paul says, "They are my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." That is, I've been joined to them because I'm joined to Jesus, they're joined to Jesus, and we're working together in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. He says, "Greet the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia." Well, it's an amazing little bit of trivia. It'll be neat to meet that man in heaven someday. "Oh, I know you. You're the first convert to Christ in Asia." But Paul is thankful for this man because he was a convert to Christ. He was a convert by the power of Christ. Paul is not just saying, "Greet Epaphras, who's a really great guy." In fact, Epaphras is a fallen, sinful human being like the rest of us, and he needed to be saved. Paul loved him because he was a convert to and by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7, they see some more of this. "Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, they were in Christ before me." Paul is honoring these two people, Junia and Andronicus, by saying they trusted in Christ far before I did. And again, his focus as he gives thanks for these two people that we have no idea who they are. But as he gives thanks for them, what he's giving thanks for, what he's focusing on, is that Jesus is in them. And Jesus is working in them. Look at verse 10. "Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ." See, Paul, as he gives thanks to these people, is not just saying, this person is really handsome, this person is really tall, this one works hard. He's saying, this is what Jesus has done in this person. And so if we would become grateful people, not just vertically, but horizontally, we will begin to see the hands of Jesus in His people. And when we give thanks to people, what we are doing is actually rejoicing in God's work in them. So when I say to honor somebody, when I say I thank you for your service to me, when I thank you for your service to the church, I so appreciate your sacrificial heart, I appreciate this work you're doing, what I'm saying is I'm honoring what Jesus has done in you. I don't for a second pretend that you all are good people. We're sinners. We are born enemies of God. We are born hating God and hating other people. But what I really love about all of you is that Jesus is in you. And you all are being sanctified. And that's fun. That's good to watch. And as I give thanks to you, I'm giving thanks ultimately to Jesus who is doing those things in you. So if you were to go downstairs, you would see that we're doing a building renovation. And the several folks in our congregation have done a lot of work. Now imagine if we were to go downstairs when it's all done and say, we are so thankful for this renovation. We're thankful for these walls and the paint. We're thankful for the carpet. We're thankful for the classroom space. We're just thankful to these walls. Of course we're not thankful to the walls. We're thankful to the people who put them up. But we're thankful in a sense to these walls. And so it is as we give thanks for other people this week and throughout our lives. I'm not ultimately saying, I'm just thanking you. I'm recognizing that Jesus made you what you are. And I delight in the work of Jesus. And we can go one step further with this. That as we become grateful people, as we show gratitude to each other and to others in our life, we will begin to see Jesus in more places. Now, I've never heard a Christian who would say, I don't need to know Jesus better. If you know Jesus at all, then you want to know Him better. All Christians long to know their Savior. They long to see their Savior face to face. And here's one way you can do it. As you begin to give thanks and you begin to purposely honor the people who are in your life, you are going to recognize that Jesus made them what they are. And you're going to see the hands and the face and the beauty and the heart of your Savior as you say thank you to other people. We get to see Jesus more and more as we show gratitude to people. Honoring others helps us see what is ultimately invisible. You see, we serve a God we can't see. We serve a God that we can't physically hear. But as we love and show gratefulness to people, we will get to see Him more and more. Well, thirdly, showing thanks for others means honoring people specifically and purposefully. Honoring people specifically and purposefully. First, I want you to notice that this letter was not just written to one person. Paul could have written short little notes of thanks to each of these people. Hi, Andronicus. Hi, Junia. I miss you. I hope you're doing well. Now, Paul purposefully put this list of greetings in this long letter. This letter was to be sent to every Roman church. He wanted every Roman church to read this so that these people would be honored in every congregation. It is not wrong. Rather, it is appropriate to honor people publicly when they serve Jesus Christ. Honoring people means honoring them specifically. One of the things that stands out from this list is that Paul doesn't just give a list of names, does he? He doesn't just say the same thing about each person again and again. But for each one, he's able to say something specific that he's thankful for. And if we are going to be truly grateful people, it requires two things. It requires attention and it requires thoughtfulness. True gratefulness is not just saying, I just love who you are and I'm so thankful for you. That's great and that, you know, we might say that sometimes. But true gratitude and deep gratitude says, here's this thing that you do that I love. Here's this thing that you did that I so appreciate. Here's what Jesus is doing in your heart or in your life that I see and that I value. And if we're going to be that type of people, we have to get outside of ourselves, don't we? We have to pay attention to other people. We have to watch them. We have to talk to them. You can't show this type of gratitude without really and deeply knowing other people. So let me ask you, how are you doing? Are you investing in relationships in your life? Are you working to get to know your husband, your wife, your children? Are you really working when you come to church to get to know the people you worship with so that you could see if Jesus was doing something in their life? Or are you so distant that even if Jesus is working a miracle in somebody's life, you wouldn't even know about it? See, if we're going to be grateful people, it requires thoughtfulness and attention. And so I want to encourage you and maybe even give you a charge if you're willing to take it up. Tomorrow, honor people. We have a chance to get together with a lot of people. We'll be around a table, most of you, with more than just your immediate family, probably. What an opportune time to say, I'd like everybody to know that I'm thankful for this thing about this person. Does that seem really weird? Would that be a little uncomfortable for some of you? But if somebody said that about you, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be helpful and encouraging. Let me make a side note before I bring us to a conclusion. Some people hear the idea of showing gratefulness to others and saying thank you and honoring people. And we say, and we might think tonight, well, I'm worried about causing pride in somebody else. That I don't want to show too much gratefulness. I don't want to be so overly thankful that people are, you know, puffed up. And let me say two things in response to this. You don't need to worry about pride, first of all, because they're already prideful. You're not causing it. It's already there. Okay. Yeah. And secondly, true gratitude recognizes that what is good in them is from God. And as we honor them rightly, we're not building them up. We're building them up in God. And that doesn't build up pride. That encourages people. One of the amazing things about showing gratitude toward others is how relatively easy it is and how much of a reward it bears. Each of us, well, many of us, are looking for good investments with our money. Some of you read the newspapers. You want to see, is gold going up? Is it a good investment for my money? How much return will I get in this particular investment or in that piece of real estate? But I don't know that there's better ministry return than that with just gratitude. Because when people feel that they are honored, they will keep doing whatever it is they're doing. I don't care if they're washing toilets. If somebody feels like they are appreciated for it and they're honored for their sacrifice, they'll keep doing it. And each and every person in this room needs to be thanked and they need to be encouraged. And some of you might be like I formerly was, and God has rebuked this on me many times. Well, I would tend to think, well, if people have a job to do, they ought to just do it. They just need to man up and get to it. They shouldn't need to be thanked or honored. Reality is, that's just not how God built people. God built us to live in a relationship and community to each other. And when somebody says thank you in a very specific and purposeful way, it helps. It strengthens you. And let me give you a testimony of this. Last Sunday night, we were worshiping in Kokomo. And several of the pastors had an opportunity to take part in the service. And so I got to take part in the service, had a little bit, and I prayed and introduced a psalm. And after the service last Sunday night, two men that I respect, two friends, came up to me. And they said very specific thank yous. They said, I appreciated how you did this thing. And I'm just thankful for you. And I'm thankful for what you did tonight. Can I tell you that it's Wednesday and that's still helping me? It's still giving me some strength, some encouragement. I'm doing what God wants me to be doing. Praise Jesus. Great. This is how people operate. And this is how people work. And let me bare my heart just a little bit more. Is that I don't think that we at Emmanuel are great at this just yet. I don't think that we have reached the end of being grateful to each other and learning how to truly honor each other. And what Paul says in another place in Romans chapter 12, he says, outdo one another in showing honor. What a challenge. And if we would take this up, we would see that giving thanks to people strengthens them. And receiving thanks and receiving honor in a way that ultimately rebounds and resounds to Jesus is part of how we exist. People need to be honored. Men, your wives need to be honored. that need to be thanked. Your children would exist almost solely on your praises if you would give it to them. Ladies, your husbands need to be thanked too. They need to know that you love them and appreciate what they've done. And look around. Every single person in this room needs to be thanked. And if you don't know people in your life well enough to show them honor and thanksgiving, that's where you begin. Ask them questions. See what they do. This is what Paul did. It's in the Word of God. This is inerrant and inspired. It can't be wrong. And if Paul does it, then we should do it as well. So my encouragement for you this week, this year, and as part of really your whole life with Christ, become somebody who shows honor and thanksgiving, not just to God directly, but to God indirectly as we show thanks to each other. Let's stand and pray together. Lord, we delight in you and we thank you for how you have made each person specifically, uniquely, beautifully, individually, how you bless them and use them. And Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes to see your handiwork in each other. We pray that you would open our eyes, get us outside of ourselves so that we could see what you are doing in people's lives and so that we could honor it. Lord, we would ask that you would make us a grateful people to you because you have given us so much. And to each other, because you have done so much for us through them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to Psalm 16, Selection A.